You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Stephen Licorice, and this is the Autosport Podcast. It's Easter this weekend, and in terms of UK national motorsport, that means one thing: the British GT season opener at Oldham Park. This staple fixture of the national motorsport schedule has been absent for the past 2 years due to the coronavirus pandemic, but British GT and its supporting series, including GB3, are back to their traditional curtain-raising event this weekend. I'm Autosport's Group National Editor, and I'm joined by Autosport Plus Editor and British GT correspondent James Newbold to look ahead to the new season, and I'm also joined by Stefan Mackley, Autosport's Deputy National Editor, who will be previewing the new GB3 season. So starting with you, James, this is a season with major changes taking place in British GT. Lots of different drivers, lots of different teams, and I guess that the obvious place to start really is that defending champions Liam Michitsky and Dennis Lind won't be back to defend their title. We had originally been expecting them to be on the grid in their Barwell Lamborghini, but they now won't be. So would you be able to sort of just talk us through briefly why they will not be back this year?
Yeah, so following the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, there was obviously significant international outcry, and motorsport hasn't been immune to that. Motorsport UK was one of the firmest in its response, saying that Russian license holders would not be able to participate, which immediately put the defending champion's entry into question, because Leo Michitsky had a Russian license last year. He has previously entered under a UK license, but we had the confirmation come through this week that entry would not be on the grid this year. So Barwell is down to one entry for Sandy Mitchell, the 2020 champion, together with Adam Ballon. But even so, we've still got a full season grid of 17 GT3 cars. We're expecting 18 at Oldham Park this weekend. All the signs are pointing to a really exciting season. Different tyres this season. The new DHF compound has been brought in this year. It had its UK debut last weekend in GT Cup, and there were quite a few British GT regulars on that grid trying to learn this new tyre, and among them is a driver that has won the last two GT3 Pro-Am championships, just not the overall title, in Ian Logie, who was driving solo in the Ram Racing Mercedes. That's a real statement of intent from my perspective, because Logie didn't do any pre-season testing last year when he was paired with Jelmer Berman, and together they really struggled a little bit at the start of the season, getting into the groove really after a long break. This year, Ian Logie's not leaving anything to chance on this new tyre. He's been out running in GT Cup solo, getting all the drive time himself. He's also been racing in GT World Challenge Europe, which is also using the same new tyre this year, just all gaining knowledge. And he's going to be joined this year by Jules Gounon for the majority of the races where there's not clashes with his other commitments as a Mercedes factory driver in Europe. So a really strong driver lineup. That's going to be one to watch, certainly. And Jules Gounon is one of several new faces in the championship this year that we'll go on to talk about.
Yeah, so Ian Logie is one of the sort of few drivers that's staying with the same team, same car, having continued some degree of continuity. But as we sort of hinted at before, there's plenty of different faces, different drivers, different teams on the grid. And one of the other Mercedes teams this year is Two Seas Motorsport, and they're back for a full season after a partial campaign last year where they made a winning one-off appearance at Silverstone. They've got former McLaren Autosport BRDC award winner Lewis Williamson as part of their team, alongside experienced historics racer James Cottingham. So what do you think their chances could be? Do you think they could be one of the sort of crews to watch this year?
I do. I think they could be a real dark horse pair this year. As you mentioned, Two Seas only did the one British GT race last year. They switched to Mercedes after their first year with McLarens in 2020, where they did win a race at Snetterton, but they had a lot of reliability problems, and they made the decision to change to Mercedes. And that seemed to pay off last year when Martin Kodrick and Hunter Abbott, whom many people will remember from his days in the British Touring Car Championship, turned up to Silverstone and won it. They weren't eligible for points, and they didn't do the rest of the season. But that team has a healthy contingent of ex-Strakka Racing employees who know that car very well. Williamson, of course, raced for Strakka as well, and is, you know, being reunited with a lot of the people that he's worked with on that car before when they won the 2018 Blancpain Endurance Series Pro-Am title. Williamson, this is his first season back racing in the UK since his days in Formula Renault, which he was going up against Tom Blomqvist for the 2010 Formula Renault UK title, and it was Williamson who ultimately won the prize test in a McLaren F1 car in our end of year awards tests. Williamson, I spoke to for the preview, he's really excited for the new season. He's not too bothered about, actually, you know, I said to him, "You've got Jules Gounon, a Mercedes factory driver, in the Ram car. Are you excited to benchmark yourself against him?" And he said, "Actually, that's not really something that I'm looking at. I know what I can do from my days in the Strakka car before." And although he's not been racing very regularly for the last 2 years, that's kind of just down to misfortune rather than any particular choice. He's only actually done one race in 2020 and one in 2021. So this year he's combining British GT with Lamborghini Super Trofeo, so this is going to be his busiest season for a fair few years. And together with Cottingham, he had a really good outing last year in the Ram car at Brands Hatch, where he was overtaking people left, right and centre, very aggressive, and his kind of debut in a modern GT car. He unfortunately tangled with Adam Ballon at Paddock Hill Bend and ended his day in the gravel trap, but it had been a really tantalising showing of what he could do in the Mercedes. So yeah, really looking forward to seeing what they can do together with Two Seas back for the full season.
Aside from those Mercedes crews that we've already talked about, who else do you think we should be sort of keeping an eye out for in GT3 this year?
Well, the aforementioned Sandy Mitchell and Adam Ballon would be an obvious one. Barwell Motorsport has won the last two drivers' titles with Sandy Mitchell and Rob Collard in 2020 when they were running as a silver pair. And, of course, last year with Lyndon Machitsky. So Barwell is a team with the Lamborghini that you can absolutely never count out. Of course, the Lamborghini also went very strongly last year in the hands of Phil Keane and Michael Igo, the WPI Motorsport example. That's an unchanged lineup this year. Igo, a very quick driver on his day, unfortunately lost the chance of taking the title at the final round due to a couple of mistakes on the first lap when, had they stayed in the position that they were in, they might have had a fair old shot at it. But we say this every year, when is Phil Keane going to win a title? It could be this year, but there's such strength and depth this year that there's any number of car crews that you could point to. There's going to be six McLaren 720S GT3s on the grid this year, so that's going to be the best represented of all the cars out there. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Martin Plowman and Kelvin Fletcher go, having swapped their Bentley for a McLaren this year. The Bentley not known for being a particularly kind car on its tyres over a race stint, and we really saw that last year, having two races at Donington. It went so well down the Craner curves, unmatched in terms of top speed, but then the fiddly final sector, the Bentley really tended to struggle and just got picked off there time after time. But we know from Fletcher getting pole at Alton Park last year that he's really quick. Together they've won the GT4 Pro-Am title in 2019 when they were driving the Beechteen Aston. So looking forward to seeing how they go. Another pair that I'm looking forward to seeing as well in the Balfe Motorsport Audi is Sean Balfe, who came close to winning the 2019 title with Rob Bell when Balfe was running a McLaren. That year they missed the first round, which was at Alton Park. It was a double header round, as it is this weekend, but they had a lot of problems with that car, which was then brand new, which, as it turned out, couldn't be fixed at the track. So from the first two races, they scored no points. And then from the remainder of the season onwards, nobody scored more. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Sean gets on. He's got Adam Carroll alongside him, a winner in most categories he's competed in. And he was the teammate of Sean Balfe last year when they ran the Audi in International GT Open on the Michelin tyres. So they've got a little bit of learning to do on the Pirelli. But then, as has everybody, I've written a column for this week's magazine that kind of explores what sort of impact the Pirellis might have. It's expected to be a faster tyre, but naturally as a result of that, one that's maybe going to have a lot more wear exerted on the tyres and therefore is going to need a bit more management. So it might even just be a question of who gets the best understanding from the tyres. Another couple of pairings that we should maybe point out that have been doing GT Cup, along with Ian Logie, the ABBA Mercedes crew of Richard and Sam Neary, they won at Donington last year, and they also won the GT Cup title last season. And also the Enduro Motorsport McLaren pair of Marcus Glutton and Morgan Tilbrook. Tilbrook was brand new to GT3 racing last year, but made a real improvement as the season went on, and together they won the final round of the championship at Donington as well. Both of those car crews did the GT Cup race last weekend along with Ian Logie, so will have done got some mileage under their belts and understanding the new tyres, which might prove critical.
There's just so many different crews there to sort of be keeping an eye on. It's going to be a really, really interesting season to see how it all plays out in the end. And it's not just GT3 where things are looking interesting, it's also in the GT4 class as well, where there's three drivers that are on the grid that have previously won that title. We've got Will Burns, he's the reigning champion. We've got the 2018 winner Jack Mitchell, and also going back a bit further, we've got the 2014 winner Ross Wiley. So do you think some of those drivers are likely to be sort of key contenders in the second class of British GT?
Absolutely, in that sense. I think Will Burns was a very, very strong driver last year on his return to British GT in the Century Motorsport BMW. He was paired with Gus Burton last year, and together they romped to the title. It was pretty clear from very early on in the season that that pair who had previously been rivals in the Ginetta GT4 Super Cup were going to take some catching, and they proved the best all-round pair over the course of the season. Burns tended to do the opening stints, and when they weren't right at the front in qualifying, he was very, very good on opening laps, making clean, incisive moves, and they always tended to move forward if they weren't already at the front of the grid. This year, Burns is going to be with Jack Brown, who was a winner last year at Spa with Ashley Marshall in the Balfe Motorsport McLaren. So Brown knows what it's like to win races. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in with Burns as a pairing, but I'd expect that, you know, that's a team under Nathan Freak that will go very well. As a side note, they're back in GT3 this year for the first time since 2019 with the brand new M4 GT3. Betty Chen from Taiwan is their first announced driver, but as we record this, we haven't yet been informed who's going to be her co-driver. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Century manages to balance the commitments of running GT4 and GT3 cars again for the first time in a couple of years. Jack Mitchell, as you say, coming back is an interesting one. He won the title in 2018 with Century, and he's now lining up with Speedworks in the Toyota alongside Ginetta Junior graduate Tom Edgar. Mitchell was a race winner in 2020 in GT3 with the 2Cs Motorsport McLaren. And it's not often that you see drivers who've established themselves at GT3 level then go back into GT4. But he did that as a pathway into the British Touring Car Championship, where he raced last year with the Cupra Leon built by Team Hart. But he had a bit of a tricky year as the car was new. It was having to be developed, and he was learning his way in touring cars. But he feels like he learned a lot from last year, even though the results don't really show it, and feels like he's a better driver as a result. So he's coming back into GT4 with a bit of a point to prove. Spoke to him for the preview, and he's really excited to get the season underway. And then Ross Wylie, as we mentioned, in the Veluga Porsche. We don't yet know who he's going to be paired with, but it's an ambitious team run by Benji Hetherington, a former British GT driver himself. And Ross, a competitive driver in lots of different cars down the years, whether that's the wonderful sounding Brabham, Ferraris, Aston Martins and Lamborghinis and the like. So it'll be good to see Ross back in the championship, always a friendly face to have a chat to. Lots of interesting car crews we haven't mentioned so far. The reigning GT4 Pro-Am champions Darren Turner and Matt Topham, who are coming back to defend their title in the Newbridge Motorsport Aston Martin. But it should be noted that they missed the first round last year at Brands Hatch, and they still won that title, the Pro-Am title. They're now gunning for the overall crown in GT4. The difference, of course, being with Pro-Am pairings in GT4, that they have a shorter pit stop time in the longer races, which can prove decisive if there's a safety car, for example, just before the pit stop window, and the advantage that the, in theory, faster silver drivers can build up over the pros can be negated. So, yeah, we could potentially see this year a GT4 Pro-Am champion win the GT4 title overall as well, which would be the first time that's happened since Graham Johnson and Mike Robinson won it in the Ginetta a couple of years ago for Optima Motorsport. So that would be a really fascinating pairing to see how they get on. They won outright at Silverstone on actually Topham, who's a former Caterham racer. His first British GT start, they won outright, not outright because that suggests they beat the GT3 cars, but they won overall in GT4. And Topham also had a GT4 class pole at Alton Park, where he, as the AM driver, beat the Silver drivers as well, which was a real big result for him. So he's only going to get better, and it's going to be interesting to see how they go against the guys who've won it before, who are gunning for a second GT4 title, which nobody has ever done before. So lots of exciting subplots to watch there too.
Obviously, there's a lot to keep an eye on in British GT this season, but it's not just British GT that's getting underway this weekend. We've also got the first round of the GB3 Championship. Some interesting subplots in that series as well. And perhaps one of the most interesting is the battle between the most recent two British F4 champions. Both Luke Browning and Matthew Rees are due to be on the GB3 grid this year. And bringing in Stefan, our GB3 correspondent, do you expect those two to be sort of two of the sort of key front runners this year as they make the move into GB3?
Yeah, as you say, Stephen, you know, two British F4 champions are going to be in the GB3 championship this season. We've got Luke Browning, who's doing a full-time campaign this year. He did a one-off round actually at Alton Park last season with Fortech, and unsurprisingly he did quite well. He managed to win a race and get another podium, although he lost the podium post-race due to a technical infringement that wasn't really his fault. And Matthew Rees, who is the reigning British F4 champion as well. I mean, in terms of, I think, drivers, you know, out of those in particular who are going to be able to challenge for the championship, I certainly think Browning is, if not the favourite, he's certainly one of the favourites. Last season he did he was in ADAC Formula 4 with the German championship, and he came third overall in that. Having spoken to him, it was very much a learning year. He was learning new tracks, he was living abroad and by himself for the first time, so I think in many ways he was sort of developing as a person as well as a driver. He said that he's obviously learnt a lot and matured, you know, so coming into this season, he, you know, the experience that he's got behind him on the track as well, you know, really he should be challenging for the championship, if not being the favourite. He's with Hi-Tech, you know, they've been in GB3 now for a couple of seasons. They're obviously a big name in the likes of Formula 2 and Formula 3 as well. So he's in the right place. And, you know, there's no reason really why he shouldn't be able to challenge for the championship. Rees, you know, this is only his second season in single-seaters. You know, he managed to win the British F4 Championship last year and, you know, did remarkably well. You know, moving up into the GB3 Championship this year, it is going to be quite a step up for him. It's going to be interesting to see how he does. He's with JHR. He's actually the only car that they've got confirmed for this season so far, which is going to be interesting because obviously he doesn't have the data pool of a team running three drivers, for example. But at the same time, he's obviously got that sole focus, and you know, JHR, you know, they've proven in British F4 they can, you know, win races and titles. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But I certainly think out of those two, Browning's the one who is more likely to be challenging for the championship this season.
Yeah, it certainly will be interesting to sort of see which of those two does have the upper hand in the battle of the F4 title winners. But they're far from the only contenders on the grid, as you mentioned. It's a packed entry for GB3 this year. So aside from Browning and Rees, who else do you think we should really be sort of looking out for as potential contenders for the title this year?
Yeah, the grid's looking really strong. I mean, we've got more than 20 drivers already confirmed. I mean, we had, I think, 15, 16 drivers confirmed about a month and a half ago, which, you know, is sort of a great example of, you know, how well the championship's currently doing and, you know, how it's seen by drivers and teams as well in the sort of the single-seater landscape. But yeah, in terms of other drivers, I mean, you know, the informed team really is Carlin. They've won the last three drivers' championships with Clement Novalak, who is obviously in F2 now, Kaelin Frederick, who is in FIA F3, and Zach O'Sullivan, who won it last year and is also again in FIA F3. So as I say, you know, and they've got three drivers, two of whom are coming back for a second season. So you've got Roberto Faria and Javier Sagrera as well. Faria came fifth overall in the standings last year with Fortech. He's the highest placed driver who's returning. Managed to win one race at Spa, the reverse grid race. So I mean, those two in particular, you know, you've got to look at and say they're going to be challenging, you know, Browning for the title, because again, they're in the right place. They've got that year of experience. You know, there's no reason why they shouldn't be, you know, at least challenging for podiums and sort of being up there on a consistent basis. Another returning driver as well, you've got Tom Lebben, who's with Elite. You know, the 2020 Ginetta Junior champion. It was his first year in single seaters last year. Very much a learning year for both him and the team, who were new to the championship. But speaking to him sort of in the off season, he and the team are confident that, you know, they can start challenging for podiums. You know, and there's sort of, in many ways, there's no reason, you know, why they can't. You know, everybody's got exactly the same car. And in many ways, because the new car has been introduced for this year, which I'm sure we'll come on to in a minute, it sort of reset the field in a way. So data that teams such as Carlin and Fortec had for the last 6-7 years, although it's still relevant, it isn't as relevant. There is new information that teams are going to have to try and find out. Settings that worked, base setups that worked last year are just not going to work this year in some situations. So for a team like Elite, that's going to be helpful. And then up and down the grid, I mean, you know, you've got the likes of Max Esterson, the American, who's with Douglas Motorsport. He won the Walt Hayes Trophy last year. He's done Formula Ford for a season. He, you know, just missed out on the title, the National Formula Ford title last year. So, again, he's sort of somebody who's, you know, worth sort of keeping an eye on. And going back to Carlin, we've got Callum Voisin, who is making his debut in single seaters as well. He was obviously really exciting in Ginetta Juniors last year. He, you know, started the year really well, faded away a little sort of towards the end. But it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to get on. You know, as I say, being in Carlin, a team who are no strangers to single seaters. And James Headley as well, he's moving up from British F4. It was his second season last year. Sort of a strange one. I mean, Stephen, you know better than me sort of maybe what went on there, because, you know, you were following the championship, but started really well and moved to Carlin midway through the year, and the campaign just sort of seemed to fall away. But, he does have actually quite a bit of single seater experience. I was speaking to Tom Bleben, he was actually saying that James has actually got more experience than he has, even though it's the first time that James Headley is going to be doing the GB3 Championship this year. He did the final round at the end of last season, but it's certainly going to be his first full-time campaign. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the up and down the grid, you know, there's drivers who are certainly going to be in the mix. I mean, as we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, a second can easily cover the top 15 drivers. So if you mess up in qualifying, that, in many ways, that's kind of your weekend gone in a way. Yes, we do have the reverse grid race as a race three. But if you want to be consistently challenging for the championship, you know, you've got to be nailing it every single weekend. As we've seen in the past, you know, you can't afford a bad weekend. Zach O'Sullivan last year actually managed to be very consistent throughout the season. But if we look back to the year before with Caelan Frederick, he had an absolute nightmare in Brands Hatch. And he basically played catch-up through the entire year. He was by far and away probably the quickest driver during the course of the season, but because he had that terrible round and just with the point structure, it basically took him all season to make up that ground to Kushmany. And I mean, if you go to the year before as well, when Clement Novalak won the championship, he won two races all season. I think both of those came in the first three rounds, but he didn't record a single DNF until the very last meeting of the year at Donington Park, whereas Jonathan Hoggard, I think, won seven races and more often than not was the quickest driver. But because he'd recorded 3-4 DNFs, you know, it just adds up. And so you don't necessarily almost need to be the quickest driver in this championship. What you need is you need to be consistent weekend on weekend. And if you do that, then there's no reason that the championship sort of can't come your way, really.
As you say, there's just so many different drivers that we're looking to be in the mix this year. And it's a great endorsement for what the championship has done. As you said earlier, Stefan, it's a new car for this season. And it's a sort of new era for GB3. It's the first full season with its new title. Obviously, it began last year being referred to as BRDC British F3. And yet, the mid-season name change has done nothing to harm its prospects. It's still attracted a really strong cast of drivers for this year. And there's a lot sort of going on with the championship. It's got a new TV deal on Sky Sports F1 to show highlights, and it extended sort of online coverage of its races and the build-up to races as well. So in terms of where you see the championship at the moment, it seems like it's really on the up, and it's really sort of hitting the right spot in terms of what junior drivers are looking for in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as we've written and talked about over the last couple of months, it's a very interesting time in UK junior single-seaters at the minute, with both GB3 and British F4 getting a new car and a new championship, GB4, which I think we'll come on to sort of a bit later on, a new championship for this year. With GB3, I mean, as I've already said, the numbers are really good, and it's clearly a place that drivers see as a viable championship to come and learn their trade, basically. And as you've mentioned before, it's got a new car for this year, which, again, is from Tatus. It's got a slightly improved engine from Mountain, so it's got a bit more power. that's kind of to compensate for the extra weight of the halo. So for this year, obviously the halo head protection device is going to be on the car, which, you know, speaking to people up and down the pit lane, they're very happy about, and, you know, rightly so, it should be on the cars. But the biggest increase really is with the downforce, which, you know, speaking to people, is creating the new bodywork on the cars is creating 20 to 25% more downforce than the previous model, which, you know, is a huge amount. And, you know, speaking to teams and drivers, they're saying that on average, generally, you're looking at about 2 seconds a lap quicker, which, you know, isn't, you know, it's not an insignificant amount of time. I mean, around tracks like Snetterton, which are a bit longer, and with the type of corners that are there, sort of slow hairpins and then fast sweeping corners, it's close to 4 seconds, which is a massive, massive time gain. And it comes back to the point about teams that were using the previous data. You know, if you're 4 seconds a lap quicker around a lap, you know, you're going to have to look at different ways of engineering the car. As you'd already mentioned as well, obviously, we, you know, with the TV deal now as well, so there's going to be an hour highlights package on Sky Sports F1 the weekend after the meeting before that. You know, and again, it's another great coup for Jonathan Palmer and, you know, Motorsport Vision, which runs the championship. And the performance boost of the cars, I mean, I think the main point here is the performance boost of the cars, what it's doing is it's moving it closer to FIA F3. And as I've already mentioned, the past three champions have all moved into that championship. So what it's doing is it's cementing its place between F4 championships and FIA F3. And, you know, with this performance boost in the car, that's only going to help cement its place, you know, within that gap in the market. And, you know, as I say, it's testament by the fact that all these drivers have signed up, you know, weeks and months in advance, really. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, the new cars look, you know, I've seen them in action. They look great. They've got the side intake, which is sort of a bit like the old F3 cars used to have. So to see them in action is going to be quite good. What I would say is, obviously, with that extra downforce, as we've seen in F1, these cars don't have DRS, and Alton Park's a tricky track to drive around at the best of times, so I'm not expecting there to be too much overtaking this weekend, but, you know, that's not to say that it's not going to be an entertaining race. So it's going to be an interesting season, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And as you mentioned, it's not just GB3 that's going to be in action at Alton Park this weekend in terms of single seaters. There's also the brand new GB4 championship, which had its first round at Snetterton earlier this month, and this is for the old Tatus Formula 4 cars that were used in series such as the German and Italian championships. So based on that opening round, Steph, in which you were at, what do you think we can expect now for the rest of the season starting at Alton Park this weekend?
Yeah, as you say, and I just mentioned as well, you know, the GB4 championship, I mean, so this is another one from Motorsport Vision, and it's basically being billed as an affordable championship or cost-effective championship to get into single-seaters, slicks and wings racing, basically. It's using the old, as you said, the old F4 car in Italy and Germany. So there's an abundance of cars around. And MSV themselves, I think, purchased 17 in the off-season to then, you know, help teams basically get a hold of them to use for testing and hope, you know, in their eyes, hopefully racing. As you say, the first round took place at Snetterton at the start of the month as part of the CSCC's first season opener, and it was, you know, it was good, you know. I mean, probably nothing to sort of write home about too much. It got 12 cars, which, you know, for a new championship is not embarrassing, but, you know, it's not the, you know, it's not the best thing ever. And certainly as the season goes on, I think that those numbers are going to have to improve. You know, they will fluctuate. You know, I'm fairly sure that there's going to be some drivers who are currently competing who won't do the full season, and at the same time, I'm sure there'll be new drivers who join. Certainly there's teams that have registered interest. I mean, in the off season we were told 13 teams had registered interest, and as it was at the first round we had 5, so, you know, that's less than half of the ones who said yes, we'd like to do this championship. You know, they didn't turn up for whatever reason, whether they couldn't get drivers or whether they just said they wanted to do it and didn't actually sort of want to go through with it for whatever reason. But, you know, that's not to say that, you know, the quality of racing, you know, just because there was 12 drivers wasn't very good, because it was. We had Nicholas Taylor, who'd never done a car race before. You know, he managed to win the race, the first race, took 2 pole positions. But then, you know, his lack of racecraft, I think, showed, because for the other two races, he sort of fell back and, you know, isn't leading the championship despite, you know, kind of easily being the quickest driver there that weekend. But you've got the likes of Alex Walker, who nearly won the National Formula 4 Championship last year, and Tom Mills as well, who hasn't actually completed a season of racing. He did National Formula 4 as well. And that's when because he'd only just turned 16. So he's not actually done a full season of racing yet. And, you know, those three really, I think, are going to be vying for the championship this year. As I said earlier on, the whole purpose of this championship is to get drivers who don't have the budget to do British F4, which is, you know, 300 plus. You know, this really, I mean, speaking to teams up and down the pit lane, you're looking at kind of around 150 grand, really. So, it's, you know, it's half the amount. And, you know, there's these drivers who obviously have talent but just don't have the budget. And, you know, none of them would be able to do British F4. So the fact that they're able to race in this championship and showcase their talents, you know, it's no bad thing, really, in principle. And this, as you mentioned, the first round that they're going to be in support of GB3 and British GTs this weekend, which, again, you know, can only be a good thing for them. It can only be a good thing for the teams. It's going to raise the profile of the championship a bit more. And during the course of the season, when it's in support of those championships as well, I think for GB3 it's in support of those that championship throughout the season, and at British GT for a few others. You know, it's going to be a good thing, and you would hope it would grow, because, you know, for the price point that it is and the coverage that it's getting, if it doesn't start to get drivers, then I think you've got to question, you know, why isn't it getting drivers? Because MSV, you know, as we've seen with GB3, it's, you know, it can do things right. It, you know, it can run good championships, and GB3 is an example of that. So if the numbers just aren't increasing for GB4, you know, which hopefully they will, but I think if not, you've got to start to question, you know, is there an appetite in the UK for enough drivers with limited budget to want to get into Wings and Slicks Racing, or do they just go straight down the, you know, the GT route, which obviously, you know, James has been talking about?
Yeah, that's always the really tricky question, isn't it? Because we've seen this increased focus on single seaters here in the UK this year with the introduction of GB4 and the changes in GB3 and British F4. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out over the course of the season. And as you were sort of saying, Stefan, it's too early to make a judgment call on that at the moment. We need to wait until realistically the end of the year, when we can see how numbers have progressed and changed throughout the course of the entire season, before we can sort of definitively say whether or not all the changes and introductions and different formats have indeed worked. So as we said right at the start of the podcast, this is British GT back to being on its traditional Easter weekend start at Holton Park. So just wanted to sort of finish the podcast off by asking both of you what you were sort of most looking forward to about the weekend and racing getting back underway for these series. So starting with you, James, what's really sort of the key thing that you're looking forward to this weekend?
Holton Park is one of those tracks that I've actually not been to that many times. I've only been there twice before. So for me, Holton Park still has quite a novelty factor, really. I quite enjoy sort of standing trackside there, just because it's somewhere that I've not been that many times before. But the good thing about Holton Park, of course, is that it's a fast circuit. The drivers love it. They're always in a good mood driving around there. It does mean that it can be quite tricky to overtake, and that there can be fireworks as a result of that. It can't fail to produce an exciting season opener with so many cars, so many exciting contenders, all raging to go and test out how these new tyres are going to impact the racing.
Yeah, definitely. So many different things to sort of keep an eye on and see how they all play out. And what about you, Stefan? What are you looking forward to the most about the weekend, whether that's from GB3 or the other support series in action at Holton Park?
I know where I'm not looking forward to, which is the near 4-hour drive to get to Alton. As James says, because it's kind of out of the way, you know, I think I've only been to it twice as well. It's a great track and, you know, I do enjoy it, but it's not in the best sort of locations for, I think, where we're located in the UK. But yeah, I think for me, for, you know, what I'm looking forward to this weekend is just, you know, just seeing who is the fastest driver, because you know, with a new car, there's the excitement around that. And, you know, you do start to think, oh, I wonder if the pecking order is going to change a little. You know, is Carlin still going to sort of be the team to beat? It's going to be interesting to see how Browning gets on, because obviously he's got experience from other series. You know, he proved last year he was, you know, quick in the old GB3 car. And then the likes of, you know, the new drivers for the championship, like Reese and, you know, Heavily as well for a full-time campaign. And I think that's the thing to enjoy with junior single-seaters, is just seeing the new breed of drivers coming through and sort of, in many ways, seeing who the stars of, you know, a bit of a cliche, stars of tomorrow are going to be, you know, who, you know, potentially the next F1 stars are. I mean, you know, look at Zach O'Sullivan, you know, he won the Amaba Award last year, and he's a Williams development driver now. Ollie Bearman as well, he was in that GB3, and he's a Ferrari young driver now. So, you know, these are the drivers who, in sort of, you know, 6-7 years potentially, we could, you know, be seeing on an F1 grid. So just to see, you know, them in action and see what they're capable of is, you know, something to enjoy, really.
Obviously, plenty to be looking forward to this weekend, and it's not just British GT, GB3 and GB4 in action at Alton Park. It's also marking the first round of the TCR UK season, and that's a series that's really on the up after a few sort of struggles when it first launched. And among the drivers on the grid this year is former BTCC racer Chris Smiley, who's just put together a fairly late deal to get on the grid. So that'll be another one to watch. And there was also action from the Ginetta GT5 Challenge and a guest appearance from the Northern Saloon and Sports Car Series, which will be bringing a wide variety of different machinery for you to look out for anyone heading to Alton this weekend. So hopefully that's sort of whetted your appetite a little bit and given you a bit of an insight into what to expect over the course of the coming season. As we said, there's plenty of different storylines to focus on, and no doubt it'll be another exciting year for British GT, GB3 and the other support series. So we hope you enjoy the Alton Park weekend, whether you're there or watching the action on live streaming. And we'll be back soon with another edition of the Autosport Podcast.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
When Shopify says you can sell anywhere, they mean it. Woo, hold up. Just got a new sale. Order fulfilled and shipped. Inventory level's good. Whoa, Shopify doesn't mind if you're at sea level. Or on top of the world. You can run and grow your business anywhere. Climbing mountains is never easy, but at least Shopify gives me all the tools I need for my business to hit new beats.
Whether you're selling carabiners or crop tops, start selling with Shopify today and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. We've built the platform so you can keep climbing and grow your business to new heights.
With Shopify, you really can sell to anyone from anywhere.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. 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 Internet connection required. Not available on mountaintops or seafloors.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.